I want to welcome you to First Presbyterian Church. Well, most of all, I want to thank you for being here to celebrate the life of a dear saint, as is signified on the cover of our bulletin, Marty Hauser. We all knew him to be a wonderful husband, a great father, a terrific grandfather and friend, and so we come to give thanks for his living. What I got to know about Marty is that he viewed life as a call from God. He even considered going into the ministry, but he ended up, as you know, in the funeral business. But he didn't need seminary because he realized the funeral business was indeed going to be a ministry. But that's how he handled all his life, is a call from God to be of service to the Lord, whether it be to family, friend, or church. And I know that myself and the Reverend Paul Whitlatch and Rosemary Berry, who played piano with him, we all know that the body of Christ, the Lord's church, did better and ministered more because of Marty's faithful dedication to the purpose that God had for his life. I'm going to share with you a few verses from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And it talks about whether we're here or whether we're with the Lord. And while we're here, we live by faith. And when we go to be with the Lord, well, shoot, that's just more to come and more to look forward to. And this was something that I think Marty had a really good grasp of. Yes, I live by faith now, but if I go, there's even more yet to come. And it says in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, because we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we're always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and we would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we're at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may receive what is due us for the things we've done while in the body, whether good or bad. Marty loved to sail. He had more than one sailboat. And even though he had cancer, he knew innately what this passage I just read was saying, and he wanted to be here with family, I know, for sure, with church and with friends. But should the time come, he was ready to untie from the pier and set sail and let the wind of the Holy Spirit fill that sail and guide him home. But he wouldn't be sailing into the sunset. He'd be sailing into the sunrise, the dawn of a new day. And so he went into all of that with confident hope, knowing that the Lord would guarantee that wonderful journey home. So as we gather and face this mystery called death, May we gather around God's word to hear the good news. We do indeed have a Savior. And that means that death does not have the final say, but thanks be to Jesus Christ, eternal life and our home with God is sure. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forever and ever. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so it will be for those who have died in Christ. God will raise them to be with the Lord forever. And so let us this morning comfort one another with these words. Let us pray. Eternal God, our help always in every time of trouble. Gathered this day as your people, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit to comfort and strengthen us. That in Jesus Christ our Lord, we may have hope of eternal life and be strengthened to trust in your goodness and mercy. Deal graciously with those who mourn, that casting our sorrow on you, we may come to know the wondrous consolation of your love. We do ask for your healing presence to dwell richly in our hearts, and we come also to rejoice and give you all thanks and praise for the life of Marty Hauser. For we all know Marty was so faithful to his beloved family, his church, his friends, his country, and his community. And we know that steadfast respect for you and for your word, for family and friends, was the result of him having Jesus Christ as the author and perfecter of his own faith. We rejoice knowing you not only gave Marty the gift of music and the appreciation of the keyboard, but how you orchestrated his entire life to be a beautiful symphony of faith and service. And so thank you that the witness he leaves behind is the one that lives on for us. As we receive your word this morning, speak to us once more your solemn message of life and death. God, help us all, like Marty, to live as those prepared to die, so that when our days are ended, we may go forth as those that are prepared to live. For we know that whether it be in living or in dying, our life can rest secure in Jesus Christ our Lord. So as we celebrate all that Marty was and especially now is, help us to believe where we have not seen, trusting you to lead us through our days and through our years. And bring us at last with all your saints into the joy of your home through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit is one God now and forever. Amen. The Reverend Paul Whitlatch is going to share from Isaiah 40.
Good morning. Still is. From the 40th chapter of Isaiah, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
If you will, please take your bulletin in there or the words to "Be still, my soul." Let us stand and sing that together. Be still, my soul. You may be seated. Revelation chapter 7. I'm going to be reading in verse 9. And it gives us a wonderful vision of what it might be like to be in the presence of the Lord. It's described as full of joy and singing and music and worship. And all of us who knew Marty knew that he was regular at worship. He enjoyed making a joyful noise. And I'm glad, because now that's what he's going to be doing forever. But with this wonderful vision, it can give us the assurance that he is in a good place, and hopefully we will soon be there to join him in glad reunion. But in his vision, Paul writes, and he says, "After this I looked, And there was a great multitude no one could count from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne, and they worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you're the one that knows." And then he said to me, "These are they who came out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they're before the throne of God, and they worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, I'm going to ask friend and fellow musician Rosemary Berry to come and share a few thoughts about Marty. So, Rosemary, if you'll come on up.
Thank you, Pastor Brian. Good morning, my Christian friends. Brother Marty Hauser and his beautiful wife, Kathy, were what I call treasured friends. And as Paul said in Philippians 1:3, "I thank my God for every remembrance of you." Such beautiful memories I have of Brother Marty. We both were called to share in music. I have completed 64 years as a church organist, 55 years of teaching, so a little humor, my hair is real. Brother Marty and I used to share the joys of music. And one of the last times I was privileged to be in his home, I played a rendition of Amazing Grace on his beautiful grand. And he just smiled. And he was so faithful with his gift to the Lions Club and singing. But now I want to share with you how truly faithful he was to me. The saying, "Some people come into our lives for a reason. Some for a season. And some live in our hearts forever." Brother Marty filled all three of those spaces. The first time I met Brother Marty Hauser was at Lufkin Chapter, 382, when I was privileged to initiate him into the Order of the Eastern Star, where his wife Kathy had already been a member. It was a beautiful time, and I felt a connection but wasn't sure what it was. So the next month, as we had dinner, I mentioned I had played for the church for a long time. And he said, "Well, where do you play?" And I said, "The Little Burke Methodist Church where I was christened." And he said, "Well, my goodness, you probably know Paul Whitlatch." Did I ever? However, we didn't talk much about Paul except that we loved him. We talked about music. I said, "Brother Marty, do you play?" And he said, "Yes, I'm playing now at the Onalaska Methodist Church." Well, I was thrilled to death because if you know what it is to be a musician, June Clements, for your church, you don't ever get a relief. You have to be there all the time. Well, I was traveling the world in Eastern Star, and I needed to be away a few Sundays. So I said, "Brother Marty, do you think you might could help me out a little?" "Why, sure. When do you need me?" There was the season. Brother Marty played for our little church probably close to 3 years off and on, maybe once a quarter or whenever I needed him. Never did he turn me down. So the reason was music. The season was helping me. And now, Brother Marty, his picture hangs on the walls of my heart, because the last time he was to play for me, he made the call. "Dear Rosemary, I just can't come." I said, "Oh, Brother Marty, that's all right. This is not an important event. I'll just skip it." And I went to visit him a few weeks later because my heart was drawn to him. He had not really opened up. So when I visited, his best friend is Missy. That's his little dog. Well, Missy just hopped up on the sofa and laid her head in my lap. Brother Marty said, "That's enough for me right there. You're okay." And we talked about the nearing time of his death. I know Brother Marty is looking down today. I know he's heard the music. Why? Because if we're Christians, we believe that he's in the life everlasting. So Brother Marty brought peace in my life, harmony to my heart, and I will greatly miss him in the years to come. In closing, the song, "Be Still My Soul," not knowing what would be sung. Brother Marty knew that the Lord was by his side. He knew he would have struggles and trials. But his soul now has changed, and he's with the Lord, all safe and blessed. And yes, we will see him again.
Thank you. Daughter Christy is going to come and share. Christy, if you want to come on up.
Okay. I'm mainly going to read a passage that my Aunt Kay, my dad's sister, sent that she wanted to contribute to the service today. She resides in Pennsylvania and wasn't able to be here. But before I do that, I wanted to give a little brief introduction to that, because in preparing to do this, I realized that one of the things that that I learned, of many things that I learned from my dad. Excuse me. Was being able to speak to people in church, which is quite a great tradition in our family. And especially on Dad's side, we are rich in people who have served the church, and especially in the ministry. Do we have a tissue up here? Heaven forbid, in Corona era, we don't have. Apologies for that. So, in the message from Dad's sister Kay that I'm about to read to you, she mentions being a PK, which is short for preacher's kid, for those of you who are in the know about the lingo. She and my dad were actually not only preacher's kids, but also preacher's grandchildren and the niece and nephew of many minister uncles, especially on their mom's side. Of the 9 children in that family, 4 were boys, and 3 of those became preachers. Most of them went on to have sons who also became preachers, so it's quite a ministerial family. And as Brian mentioned earlier, actually, Dad also intended initially to go into the ministry. And that you may not have known, but most of you did know that Dad was gifted in music. It was actually his love of music that in part led to his not becoming a minister, as he discovered when he was starting his studies for the ministry that he also got involved with a wonderful jazz dance band, and he loved it so much that he questioned his call to the ministry and decided that funeral directing was actually probably the better thing for him. An unusual path, but yeah. So actually music played a role in that choice. As a dad, Dad got me started gently with church-based public appearances. As a 3-year-old, I popped out of a papier-mâché egg with my little black poodle, a live black poodle, to an Easter song he was playing on the piano as part of a church social hall event. Then by elementary school, I was able to stand at the lectern to lead the congregation for the first time in a prayer that I read, which was quite a big thrill for me. I remember him at home tutoring me, even as a young kid, on how to engage with a congregation. And that was also something that he did for many years in leading adult Sunday schools and so on a routine basis. And I thought it was really special and appreciated knowing that I was actually the 4th generation already. To which he was passing that down. So, here's the message from his sister Kay. I am so proud to have been Marty's sister. We shared many happy years growing up as preacher's kids. Their dad was the minister of Second Avenue Evangelical United Brethren Church in Altoona, Pennsylvania, for 16 years. We were blessed to have had Reverend Max and Blanche Hauser as parents. Looking back on our childhood, it was so full of opportunities, both in and out of church. Marty and I were very close. He was 3.5 years older, but we shared many similar interests, having grown up PKs. We took piano lessons from the same instructor. We were in band and concert chorus. At church, we led youth groups, junior choirs, participated in and orchestrated many activities such as roller skating, ice cream socials, Halloween parties, pickup basketball in the church gym, volleyball and badminton, to name a few. Every August, we would travel in a trailer throughout the United States and Canada. Marty, being the eldest, was in control of the seating arrangements. If he needed to stretch out, I was relegated to the floor. We were so fortunate, though, to have this time to bond as a family and to see the beauty of the country. However, the closeness that Marty and I shared did have boundaries. Later, he purchased a spiffy 1950s blue Chevy. I made the mistake of touching it with my index finger one morning on the way to school. He immediately took the handkerchief from his pocket and buffed out the print. I was told never to touch that car again, and I did not. This was my first lesson regarding men and their cars. He also had his private space in the basement growing up that I was not permitted to enter. This was his chemistry lab, set up with test tubes and microscopes and unknown liquids, rather fitting for his future career path. The ping pong table in the basement was set up, and I could touch that. In fact, we were both very good players, and I would occasionally let him win. That was my second lesson in dealing with men. I vividly recall once having a family meal, and at that time, Marty was attending Eccles College of Mortuary Science in Philadelphia, and I was at Polyclinic School of Nursing, and my mom was also a registered nurse. My soft-spoken father proclaimed how ironic our situation was. He said, "So your mom and sister can try to save a sick person. If they cannot, Marty, you can take care of the funeral, and I can perform the service. We have all the bases covered." At this, we all laughed so hard we cried and have repeated this story many times over the years. Kathy and I were roommates at Polyclinic for a few years. Little did I know that when I introduced her to my brother Marty, that they would end up happily married for 50-plus years. I ended my last conversation with Marty, telling him that he had been a wonderful brother. And in response, he replied that I had been a great sister. Marty has achieved many accomplishments in his life, but I feel the one that he would have been most proud of is his loving wife, successful daughter, and legacy of grandchildren. As you can see, family has been instilled in us both from our wonderful parents. Rest in peace, Marty. Until we see each other again, love you, Kay.
Reverend Paul Whitlatch is going to share a few words.
Once again. I got to know Marty first when Kathy and he came to Onalaska. They were running away from hurricanes. He'd talk about having to go down to the boat every now and then. And I don't know anything about boats. And I said, "Well, you could stay with us. We have a house in Pasadena down there." He says, "No, I'll stay on the boat. All I know about boats is you row them. There's no place to stay." But Marty would get down and fix the boat or something like that, probably just to get away from me. But because I found out he could play piano. And as Rosemary will attest, finding piano players in Deep East Texas is a project. And so when I found out, and we needed a piano player bad, because a cappella and recorded hymns just don't get it, you know? And so I found out Marty could play, and I started my recruiting campaign. And after a whole lot of arm twisting, Marty finally agreed, and I have to admit that he did a pretty good job while that arm healed up. But he told me it had been a while since he played, and he was nervous about playing, and I think once he got going, he really enjoyed it. And when I heard that he was playing at Burke and knew Rosemary Swetland, I said, "Boy, I think I've created a monster." Because he was all over the place playing someplace. And he was good. You know, it wasn't like we're going to get by and I know five chords. He was good. And I know every now and then Kathy and Marty would go away for like 2 weeks and we'd go back to the recording and the a cappella music. And when he'd come back, everybody was always so glad to see him. I'd go on vacation for 2 weeks and you'd have substitute preachers and nobody, oh, you're back already? But he was dedicated, as was said, to Sunday morning. The earth had stopped revolving if Marty was in town and wasn't at the piano on Sunday morning. You know what that means to a preacher? You know. Show up, please. And early in the week when we first started, I'll say Marty asked for a list of hymns no later than Tuesday, double-spaced, you know. And so I'd bring the list of hymns by, and he'd be in the sanctuary behind the piano, and we'd go over the list of hymns, and we'd go down, and we'd talk about two of them, and he'd get to one, and he says, I'm not playing that. What? I'm the pastor. I pick the hymns. You play them. Really? But he helped make all those Sunday mornings just magic. I don't know how many times I would walk out after our church services and just thank God for the wonderful time we had that morning. And we sang and we laughed and we prayed together, and it was amazing. I mean, who else could you get to play three Christmas Eve services for free? Marty, however, do the line on sunrise services. I don't play that. I'm not sure y'all even came to sunrise services. But he was there Sunday, on Easter Sunday, for whatever we did. And as time went by, we talked about a lot more things than which hymns we were going to play or sing that coming Sunday. We talked broadly for a long time about a lot of things. I don't know how really to describe our talking, and I'm beginning to think as time goes by, we're losing the art of being conversational. We're more with a cell phone. But Marty and I talked. And the poem by Lewis Carroll, The Walrus and the Carpenter, came to mind, and a quick stanza of that. The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings, and why the sea is boiling hot and whether pigs have wings. And that would pretty much cover what we would get off on, because we could follow some rabbit trails, let me tell you. But probably the best thing about our talks, I guess you could say, is we laughed. We just laughed and laughed and laughed about stuff. I mean, we laughed about serious stuff. He had a great sense of humor, and I'm told I'm not well. And but we had a ball. Just had a ball. And we continued to have those talks after I retired and moved back to Pasadena. For 5.5 years, Claudia had to drive back and forth between Onalaska, but we had great fun telling people, yes, we have a house here, and we've got a lake house up in Onalaska. Parsonage. But I was fortunate that I could take Marty with me for the last 7 years. We probably talked at least once a month, maybe more. And that's unusual for a Methodist pastor. It's said that we are the strangers who live among you. We're here for a time and then we move on. And our discipline, our church law prohibits us from just dropping in to say hi whenever we feel like it. They call that interfering with a pastoral charge. We have to be invited if we go near the church. But I'm privileged to take Marty with me and a few other folks that I periodically bother about one thing or another. Until our last talk on Easter Sunday, when we said goodbye for a time. It was in this last year or so that our talks turned to a lot of subjects of faith in God and our quality of life and how we handle life and death and how to make that call and not make it a selfish one, but to make it a practical one. And on that last call, I shared this with Marty, and I want to share it with you too, because it's not a secret. Jesus promised to be with us always. Not some of the time, not once in a while, not just on Sunday morning, always. Even to the end of the age. Not just our time, all time. And as was said in your text, do not be afraid. I am with you always, don't be afraid. I don't know how many times in the Bible it says don't be afraid. A lot, right? It's good enough for me. Because I believe that Jesus comes to us as well in death as he does in life. Because he already came to die for us. He already did it once. He knows how it goes. And I believe, and I hope you believe with me, that we do not die alone. We die in the loving arms of Jesus our Christ. We do not need to be afraid. We shared that confidence that day. But for me, Marty was the piano man. A great collaborator. He even twisted my arm to get me to sing a few things. He was a great confidant. But best of all, he was a great friend. So, sing us a song, you're a piano man. Sing us a song tonight. For we're all in the mood for a melody, and you've got us feeling all right. La di da da di da da. La di da da. Let us pray. Oh, gracious and good God, Father of us all, I don't know if we can say thank you enough. And while we grieve the loss of our good friend and husband and father, let us focus on the joy we had in knowing Marty. The joy he brought every Sunday morning. The joy he brought to almost everybody he met. And so we say thank you again. We thank you for the influence he had on our lives. We thank you for his bountiful life and encourage us to share our bountiful lives with others in the name of Marty Hauser. And in that spirit, let us pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Marty picked this solo to be sung by Cynthia McCracken, and it's Precious Lord, and it's a song that he had picked out for his mother's funeral service and one that he wanted shared today. Cynthia?
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me Precious Lord, you're the one that I hold my life on. You're my rock, you're my hope, you are my song. You picked me up and made me strong when my way, when I was wrong. Here's my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows dear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is
Thank you, Cynthia. I think most of you are familiar with Romans chapter 8, but I want to share with you these amazing words that nothing can stand between us and the love of God. Thanks be to the work and ministry of Jesus Christ, who has removed all barriers. And that's why, as Reverend Whitlatch said, Jesus can be with us even in death, because there's nothing that will cause him to depart. And so, knowing that and understanding it well, The Apostle Paul writes and he says, what are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? And so who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is it to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died. Yes, who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God and who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I'm going to say a prayer of commendation where we are in faith just trusting Marty's life, eternal life, to the Lord's presence and keeping. But before I do, I want to share this one last email that Marty's brother-in-law wrote. And it just, I think we can nod our heads because it's similar to how we knew Marty. It says, Dear Kathy, Christine, Tristan, Schuyler, Castiel, and Sunderland, losing Marty is so sad for all of you and for me. You've lost a faithful, loving, caring husband, father, grandfather, and so much more that words cannot capture. I've lost more than a brother-in-law. Over the years and decades, Marty became a cherished, much admired friend who lived and exemplified the American dream. We clicked as two self-reliant, independent cusses who shared compatible views about life, business, the responsible stewardship of money, politics, world developments, and even our common passion for spending as much time as possible on the water and on our boats. Wow, did we ever love and enjoy his days of sailing and kayaking. That boy was always at home when on the water or just fiddling with what became his mushrooming watercraft fleet. Boats were like ice cream to him. He just couldn't get enough of it. But his deepest commitment was to his family. Kathy as his wife, Christine as his daughter, and his endless caring for his four grandchildren. All of you know how much he loved you and can rejoice in that knowledge now. The sting of death and grief is real, but there is also reason for solace and thankfulness. Bravo, Marty. You live life well and to the fullest. And this is what we will always remember as we now celebrate your life. So long, brother. You've passed to the other side of the rainbow, but remain forever cherished in our memory with much love, Rich. Let us pray. Merciful Father in heaven, creator of life and author of salvation, it is in sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ that we do now commend to you, Almighty God, our dear brother in Christ, Max Martin Hauser. Praise to you, O God, who gave him life. Praise to you, O Christ, who died for his sins and rose again that he might live forever. And praise to you, O Holy Spirit, for sustaining him all these years, especially here in the end. O God, receive Marty into the loving arms of your eternal embrace and into the blessed rest of everlasting peace in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. I hope that you'll come and pay respects to the family. We'll be across the way in the fellowship hall. If you are able, we do urge you to wear your mask. Of course, when you're eating, that's different. But join us over there because that's where the family will be. But thank you again for coming and celebrating a wonderful man and a great life that was made and given to us by God. Please stand for the benediction. May the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, make you complete in everything good, so that you may do God's will, working among us that which is pleasing in God's sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory now and forever and ever. Amen.